Welcome to Tribecast. I'm Forrest Walden, founder and CEO of Iron Tribe Fitness. And on this podcast, I am going to help you find your tribe and maximize your life. Welcome to another episode of Tribecast. So excited to be with you today and to tell you a little bit more about my story. If you heard last week, the interview with Jim, about just who is Forrest and what I've done with my life, then you heard me talk about and briefly talk about the creation of Never Thirst, the nonprofit ministry I started with a few friends that has now impacted over 600,000 people with the gift of clean water. And you heard about my business journey from franchisee to master franchisee to now franchisor. But what I wanted to do this morning is really dive into a period in my life where I was fundamentally changed. I was changed by the power of Scripture. I was changed by the power of the gospel and completely changed my course as an entrepreneur, seeking a for-purpose business in the for-profit space, and want to talk about a sermon that I heard that began this metamorphosis in my life. Let me start by saying I've been a Christian almost my entire life. When I was 9 years old, prayed to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Grew up in a Christian home, had a father who taught Bible at a Christian school. I had heard the gospel literally my whole life, and at the age of 9 really understood my sin problem and that I was eternally separated from Christ, and so prayed to receive Christ at 9. But as is typical, as I grew older and wanted to see what was out there in the world, I drifted some in my faith, especially around high school and college. But junior year of my college career, in my dorm room, in a dorm apartment at Auburn, just kneeled down and said, God, I need to change my life, and I cannot do it on my own. Either you're real or everything I've ever heard is fairy tales, so I need you to change my life. That was a dangerous prayer because he radically changed my life. And so I really was seeking the Lord, met my wife about that time, and we were seeking the Lord together, eventually got married. But I'm going to fast forward to, let's see, probably 6 years into my Fitness Together career. I was 27, 28 years old. I was doing very well. I was making good money. I was in the industry that I loved. I had a healthy and growing family. I mean, there was not a lot going on in my life that wasn't going well at that point. And I've always been a big journaler. We've talked about that on this show several times. And one of the most common themes in my journal at that time was simply, God, why are you blessing me? You know, I never aspired to be an entrepreneur. I never aspired to make a bunch of money. I think the biggest vision I had for myself in high school and college was maybe to be a PE teacher or a football coach or, you know, eventually maybe just a personal trainer at the gym. So at that point in my life, I literally remember thinking that I'm paying more in taxes than I thought I would make in a year at that point in my life. And, you know, why is this all happening? And God, you know, why have you chosen to bless me? And so that was several years I had been asking that question in my journal. And so enter a pastor by the name of David Platt. He has become my greatest spiritual mentor, a great friend of mine to this day. But he came to our church. And at that point, he was just a traveling preacher. He'd been displaced by Hurricane Katrina. We were looking for a pastor. He had not become our pastor yet. But he came on the scene. This is February 5th, 2006. And he preached a message called The Ultimate Disconnect. Have we disconnected the blessings of God from the purposes of God? And it was based off Psalms 67, 1 and 2, which has become a life verse for me. And not only that, it's become one of our core values at Iron Tribe and one of our core values at Never Thirst. And so this psalm has impacted my theology more than any other scripture in all the Bible. And so I'm going to start just by reading from Psalm 67, 1 and 2. And then I want to take you through just some bullet points of that sermon that day and what it has done to me as an entrepreneur, me as someone who's really trying to create and grow an organization and to do it in a way that impacts the kingdom. So let me start. Psalm 67, 1 and 2. May God be merciful and bless us and make his face shine with favor upon us, so that, verse 2, so that your ways may be known throughout the earth, your saving power among all nations. And so the question that morning was, do we focus just on verse 1? God bless me, yes. God make your face shine upon me, yes. God be gracious to me, yes. We want that part so bad. But there's a connection there. So that, verse 2, why? Why does God bless us? So that his ways may be known on all the earth, his salvation to all nations. And so the primary overarching truth that is key to understanding Christianity is that God blesses his people for the sake of his praise among all peoples, not our praise, his praise. And so when you look at verse 1, it's actually a comprehensive prayer for blessing, and you find it repeatedly in the Old Testament. It was actually a high priestly blessing. And what you see just in the blessing is unmerited love and undeserving compassion. Not what we do deserve, which would be judgment, and actually what we don't even deserve, which is mercy. So you see all of that in verse 1, even literally saying his face shine upon us. And so what we're seeing here is the spiritual and physical blessing. And the reason I know there's physical blessing, because if you read just a little further down in verse 6 of chapter 67, it talks about, then the earth will yield its harvest, and God our God will richly bless us. So we definitely see spiritual blessing in verse 1, but it's not disconnected from material blessing. They're both here, verse 1, verse 6. So why? Why does God bless his people? Verse 2, so that, arguably two of the most important words in Scripture, certainly in this psalm, there is a purpose behind the blessing. God blesses his people for the sake of his praise among his peoples. And this purpose is all over the Bible. It's not just isolated here in Psalm 67. I mean, think with me for a minute. Genesis 12. God blesses Abram so that all the families of the earth will be blessed. I mean, that foundational promise to the patriarchs where he sets his favor upon Abram, turns him into Abraham, says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Why? So that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then we see this promise repeated to Isaac in Genesis 26. Same thing. We see it repeated to Jacob in Genesis 28. Tells Jacob that his descendants will be like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Why? Why would he bless Jacob, a single guy at that time, to have all these descendants so that his people would be blessed? Let's look at Exodus 14. You have the Israelites fleeing from the Egyptians, and God brings them to the Red Sea. And the Egyptian Pharaoh and his army is bearing down on the Israelites. There's a sea in front of them. I mean, this is not a good exit plan that God created, except this is exactly the way he wanted to do it, because he parts the Red Sea. The Israelites walk across. The Egyptians get crushed by the waves. Why did he do it that way? It says in Exodus, so that all the nations will know that I am God. Extravagant blessing on the Israelites so that the surrounding pagan nations would see that the God of the Israelites is the one true Lord. Deuteronomy 4, the giving of the law. Why did God give the Israelites his law? So that they would show his goodness, his grace to all the nations around them. Joshua 5, as they're walking into the promised land. After all this time in the wilderness, they're going into the promised land, and they come to the first battle, and it's Jericho. And what do they do? They have all these different options available to them. They could go over the wall. They could go under the wall. They could go in as a decoy. They could starve them out. They had all these battle plans to overcome this first stronghold of getting to the promised land. And God gives them a pretty radical plan. I want you to march around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh, blow your trumpet, play your instruments, and the walls will fall down. I mean, that's a pretty bizarre battle plan for hardened warriors ready to take over the promised land. But they did it and they obeyed. Why? It happened exactly as God laid out, so that he alone would get the credit for the way the battle was won. He blessed his people so that the nations would know he is God. Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they are thrown in the fiery furnace. Why? Why were they not even harmed? Not a hair of their head was singed, so that a pagan king would declare that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is, he alone is worthy of praise. Or even a little later in Daniel 6, when Daniel's thrown in the lion's den because he refuses to stop praying to the Lord, and he exits the lion's den unscathed. Again, not a hair of his head was harmed. Why? So a pagan king would stand up and say, Daniel's God alone is to be praised. Psalms 23, I mean, one of the most known and memorized psalms in all of Scripture. You look at all the blessings. He guides me. He restores me. He lays me down in green pastures. Why? Verse 3, for his name's sake. And this is not just relegated to the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament as well. I mean, just think about the life of Jesus. He was the ultimate blessing. And in Matthew 28, as he's ascending and leaving this earth, he tells us his final words to make disciples of all nations. I've come. I've been the blessing that you didn't deserve. I've lived the life you couldn't live. I died the death that you deserve to die. Now take this new life and make disciples of all nations. Or in Mark 16, 15, go teach the good news of salvation to all nations. Or in Luke 24, very clear, Jesus died so that forgiveness and repentance would be preached in all nations. Or in Acts 1, 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? Why did the disciples receive the power? So that you will be witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, and to the ends of the earth. And let's just fast forward to Revelation. This is where it's all headed. Revelation 7, 9. And there a multitude too great to count from every tribe and nation and people and language are surrounding the throne. I mean, that's where it's all headed. And so the purpose of all history is to bring every tribe, nation, people, language to the king. God has blessed us to reach them. So the final, all-glorious, global purpose of God is from cover to cover in Scripture, we've been blessed to take his name to the nations. So that truth leads to a danger, because we who have received so much physically and spiritually, we're prone to disconnect that blessing in our lives for God's purpose for our lives. And that's certainly where I was that day, February 5th, 2006. I was making all this money, and you know, I think along the way, asking that question of God, why have you blessed me? I had come to the conclusion that, well, I'm working harder than any of my friends. I'm studying more. I'm hiring more mentors. I'm taking risk with capital, and I'm growing businesses. And I honestly believe I had gotten to a place where I thought I was successful because of me and my own efforts. And I had disconnected the blessing of God from the purpose of God in my life. And so what does that look like spiritually when we love grace and mercy and blessing, but we focus on ourselves? It's incomplete. It's a perverted view of the gospel and Christianity. We need to take the blessing, the lavish blessing, both spiritual and physical, and funnel it in ways so that his glory and praise might be known for his people all over the earth. God lives to exalt himself. And when you think about that, you're like, God lives to exalt himself. You really have to stop and ponder and think, well, actually, that makes total sense, because who else would you have him exalt? And that's the beauty of the gospel. I mean, God has chosen to glorify himself by saving sinners. And so the blessing of God is not intended to center on me, to center on us. It is intended to spread through me, to spread through us. And God has given us a purpose, which is the gospel, so that all people might know the gospel. So my health, my family, my business, my freedom, this podcast, it's all for a purpose. And it's not so that I can be more comfortable or have more luxuries and coast out my life until I get to heaven. No, he's given wealth, he's given resources, he's given your platform, your relationships, your resources, all for the sake of his worship and his name in the world. And this changes everything. All of God's blessing, they're centered on him and not us. And so when I heard that message back in 2006, it was one of those experiences where I might as well have been the only person in the room. I felt like David was talking directly to me. Felt like he had been in my journals. I had seen the question, you know, God, why are you blessing me over and over and over? And I went forward and I knelt at the altar and tears flowed. And it was just a pivotal time in my life. And so from there, as David continued to unpack the word and the gospel, he really challenged us to go on a mission trip. I was, like I said, 28 years old, had never been on a mission trip, and signed up to go to Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And the challenge was to give up 2% of our year, and it would change the other 98%. And 2% of your year is a week, so I spent a week in Tegucigalpa, and we served a community that was living out of the dump. And I will never forget standing in that stinking, wretched dump, watching a woman drag a trash bag, looking for her next meal, and she was pregnant. And my mind immediately flashed back to my wife, who was pregnant at home with our third, and just felt God just asking me for us, you know, what are you going to do with your resources? What are you going to do with your impact and your business and your relationship? What do you have that has not been given? And I thought about Mindy at home and prenatal vitamins and hospitals and doctor visits and just all the things that were at our fingers, at our disposal, and the contrast of this woman in front of me who undoubtedly got pregnant in the dump and was going to have the baby in the dump. And the dichotomy between the two was just overwhelming. And my 5 Series BMW I was driving at the time, and the beach house I had just built, really just in that moment lost their luster. And I really began a search of what does it mean live this life with this truth of the gospel that God blesses us to impact others. And I just began a search. And so for about a year and a half, me and a couple friends started traveling the world. We went not only to Honduras, we went to India, we went to Sudan, we went to Mexico, all on mission trips. And we just all felt that God was calling us to do more with our lives than just be in the for-profit space building businesses, and felt like we were called to something greater. And that's where the birth of Never Thirst began, from that sermon and from that understanding, and then from going and seeing the world and seeing consistently in all the context that we went to, lack of clean drinking water. And not only that, but lack of exposure to the gospel. And we started a ministry called Never Thirst. And that entire ministry was based off that sermon. And David Platt has been a huge part of our ministry. He's now the president of the International Mission Board, just released, I think, his 4th book about a trip he took to Nepal. He's just been a huge impact on me. And so for about a year and a half, as we traveled and as we built a board and built a 501c3 and a nonprofit, which is not easy to do, I really felt like God was calling me to sell my previous business, Fitness Together. And I was very clear on that. And I thought, well, the only reason he would be calling me to do that is to lead Never Thirst. And I thought that was the direction I was going. But God made it abundantly clear to me that, yes, I was supposed to sell, But no, I was not to be the one to run Neverthirst. In fact, he called me to start another business. And there were five specific things where I kept saying, God, there's just no way that that's what you're calling me to do. Because how could I do anything else with my time, with my resources, with my energy, when I've literally stood over the bed of kids dying from diarrhea because they didn't have clean water? When I've literally stood with smoldering church remains in Sudan, where churches have been burned down and Christians have been persecuted, like, how can I not spend the rest of my life coming alongside those people? And God just made it really clear to me, number one, by overcoming five specific things that I felt like were impossible things to overcome for me to start over in the fitness business. And one by one, they were overcome. But also, he just taught me through a series of sermons and prayer and fasting and meeting with counselors, really trying to discern, like, I don't want to make a mistake here. I do not want to get to the end of my one and only life and look back with my head in my hands and say that I've wasted it. But God made it clear, like, Forrest, you've been given talents, you've been given passions, you've been given this desire in the fitness world to grow fitness businesses that create true impact. And he called me to start another business. So from the very beginning of the creation of Iron Tribe, I wanted to connect the blessing of God with the purpose of God. And so central that it became one of our core values, again, based right out of Psalm 67, 1 and 2. And it says simply that we connect God's blessings with God's purposes. And as I started that business, I thought, what is a way that we can keep this brand connected so that I don't drift into the entrepreneur I was back in 2007, where I was focused on me and myself and my comfort and what I could earn and what I could buy? How do I keep that connection front and center? And so the way we've done it, and it's been several different ways, but one of the primary ways is by creating a movement called Workout for Water. And so every year we gather on a Saturday and we do a workout in a park, and we charge, you know, $50 to participate, and we ask our clients to raise funds alongside us. And that campaign has just taken on legs. The first year we did it, I think we raised just enough money to buy a well in Haiti. There'd just been the earthquake in Haiti. But every single year, as the brand has grown, the event has grown. And we went from that humble, I think it was $10,000 in 2010, to last year doing just under $800,000 brand-wide. And to date, we've raised just over $3.7 million in the last 9 years. And that money has all gone straight to Neverthirst. And we've become one of the largest supporting arms of Neverthirst. And it's just been such an amazing testimony of grace to see the way God has redeemed my passions and my giftings to be able to come alongside Neverthirst and support them in that way. I'm still on the board and very involved in the organization, but God had a different plan from me serving full-time to going out and creating gyms that our purpose as a brand is to create fitness communities that change lives. And that 100% means that we want to change the lives of our clients coming in our gyms every single day within the context of our four walls. But it also means that we don't stop there. Like, we really do want to create change holistically, both in our local communities and around the world. And so with Workout for Water, that has given us that outlet. And some of the really cool things I've been able to do over the last 9 years with that is travel internationally with clients, with franchisees, and with staff to show them the results of their giving and the results of their work, and to say, look, here's a community before Workout for Water had no access to clean water. Here's where they were drinking. They had no access to the gospel. They didn't have a church. They didn't have a pastor. Now, after Workout for Water, they have clean water. They have a local congregation that has been birthed in their village, and they have a pastor And the difference is staggering. Because it's one thing to show up on a Saturday morning and give $50 and do a workout and feel like you did something good. It's another thing entirely to go half the world away to actually meet someone who is impacted by that $50 gift. And I wish I could take everyone who's ever given over to see. Usually the best we can do are good blogs and videos and testimonials and pictures of the people who were impacted. But Workout for Water has just been a huge avenue for us to connect God's blessing with His purpose. But that's not the only thing. All you listeners out there may be thinking of ways you can use your business or your passion or your talents. We've had all kind of ways that we've been able to see through this lens of how can we use this business. We're not open on Sundays, and we're a big open footprint. We've hosted a couple of church startups and let them meet in our space over the years to get started. We've had multiple small group Bible studies start within the context of our gyms. Most of my team are believers, not all. It's not a requirement to be a Christian to work here. You do have to respect our Christian values, much like Ricky said on last week's podcast. But we've seen small groups form. We have partnered with a local adoption agency to do a 5K to raise funds for them in a similar way that we did for Never Thirst because of my heart for adoption, which is another just outflowing of me traveling and really taking this verse to heart. I remember coming home from one of my trips to Africa after experiencing third world orphans for the first time and just being heartbroken by the conditions and the future prospects of these children, and coming home, and we lived in a nice house, but it has never seemed nicer. It had never seemed bigger or cleaner. Just the diabolical experience of spending 10 days in Africa in literally a mud hut to coming home to my home in Homewood, Alabama, and looking at my wife and just saying, like, we've got space. We've got the resources, like, what are we doing? And we started the process of adoption, and 27 months later brought home a baby boy from Ethiopia, Benjamin, and he is now 8 years old, and we're about to celebrate our 8th Gotcha Day just after Workout for Water, May the 6th. And it's been a huge blessing in our lives, and we just love the story of adoption because it's also woven all through Scripture. We are adopted because of what Christ has done for us. So I challenge you, as you're listening to these podcasts, as we're talking about having it all across body, being, balance, and business, I challenge you to look at your life through the lens of Psalm 67, 1 and 2, and ask yourself as well, have you disconnected the blessings of God, what He's lavished upon you with a healthy body, with a sound mind, with the ability to create businesses, to create resources, to create relationships. I mean, all that He's blessed you with. Are you hoarding those and just focusing on your comfort and what's next for you? Or are you really thinking about, God, how can I use what you've given me, the passions, everything that you've given me, so that, verse 2, your ways may be known on all earth, your salvation to all nations. And so having it all is ultimately about the time we will spend for generations, for thousands and thousands of years in all of eternity. If you've been listening to the podcast, Jim Cavall and I got on this subject a couple weeks ago about all the thought leaders in the entrepreneurial space that we listen to, from the Tim Ferrisses to the Gary V's to the Garrett Whites, just all these big names, and they talk about the long play and they talk about legacy. But ultimately, no matter how successful you are in this life, it's gonna burn. I mean, Ricky, with his 860-unit franchise, like, ultimately it's going to burn. My 36-unit Iron Tribe chain is going to burn. But what God tells us in His Word, that the two things that will remain is His Word and the souls of men. So to impact other people with your gifts and passions is something that's going to last forever and will put us in that situation that I read from Revelation 7, where we're all standing around the throne, people from every tribe, every nation, every language. And my dream is that we look around and know that because of what we did on earth with our resources, there are people there that would not have been there because we sacrificed and we used our gifts to spread his name and grow the kingdom. I don't think there will be anything more satisfying than that, to hear the words that I long to hear, that I pray you long to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So to have it all is certainly to be in lockstep in your being domain with Christ, asking, "God, you've blessed me. How do you want me to bless others?" And I think in that you will find your ultimate meaning, your ultimate purpose. Whether you're an entrepreneur or not, God has equipped you uniquely to do things that no one else on this earth can do, in a way no one else can do them, and he wants to use those for his glory. And that is an amazing life to live. We'll see you next week on Tribecast.